This week, the UN issued a warning. Many Ukrainians with disabilities are in grave danger, reportedly stranded in a war zone without food, clean water, or shelter. In fact, the needs of Ukrainians with disabilities have largely been overlooked. We're joined now by Femi Okeh, host of Al Jazeera's The Stream. Excuse me. And Femi, you've covered this issue on your show, and I want to start by hearing directly from one of the advocates that you spoke with, Yulia Sachuk, head of the group Fight for Right Ukraine.
Ukrainians with disabilities, they very often think that they don't have chances to survive, and they don't think that their lives are valuable to be saved by somebody.
So how would you describe the situation that Ukrainians with disabilities find themselves in right now in the middle of this war?
Peter, what they're lacking right now is logistical support to evacuate, resettle as refugees, or shelter in place if they have to. Some of the challenges: physically getting to evacuation points, the availability of transport that's been adapted for people with disabilities. Some Ukrainians with intellectual disabilities, they can't be moved. They need to be in an environment that they feel safe and comfortable in. There are tens of thousands of adults and children with disabilities in institutional care, so they're very isolated, often overlooked. And some of the big humanitarian organizations that we've seen working in Ukraine at the Ukrainian border haven't factored in how to support people with disabilities.
Femi, I'm thinking about bomb shelters, which of course have kept a lot of Ukrainians safe, but they're often underground, tough to get to. This is Anna Landry. She's with the Partnership for Disaster Inclusive Strategies. You spoke with her.
Yulia and I heard just last week at the UN Protection Cluster meeting that 90% of existing shelters are inaccessible to people with mobility disabilities. And that's just unacceptable.
So tell me more, Femi. If you cannot get into a bomb shelter, how do you stay safe when the bombs are falling?
So the Director of Inclusion Europe spoke to me this week, and he said that for people with intellectual disabilities who are stuck on the outside of these shelters, they are huddling in their basements, sometimes sitting in their bathtubs, hoping that that will protect them. I'm also going to share some of the stories of people who cannot get out of Ukraine because they need to stay in place for their loved ones with disabilities. Natalia Komarenko is a mum of three. She lives in Kyiv. Her 17-year-old son, Volod, has a very rare genetic condition. It causes very severe intellectual disabilities. Right now, she's running out of epilepsy medicine for Volod, and she's got no access to the rehabilitative care that she had before the invasion of Ukraine started. But what Natalia has done, she started a support network for other families living with disabilities in Kyiv. There are over 1,000 people in her network, and she says the most important thing is to survive.
So this is incredibly hard work, and it looks like there are at least some wins. Networks that have been organized by the community are having some success. This is Anna Landry again.
You know, Yulia's organization, Fight for Right, and my organization, two organizations which have never worked in conflict zones, never worked in evacuations, were able to set up this operation, evacuating people with disabilities, in a matter of 1 week.
So evacuations are happening. She goes on to say that they were able to get out 583 Ukrainians with disabilities. How do they do that?
This is amazing, Peter. Disability activists are leading the way. They are sending money. They are finding carers in war zones, volunteers to help Ukrainians with disabilities who can't leave. They're tracking down medicine that they need. They're fighting for the rights of Ukrainians with disabilities so that they are being treated the same as other refugees. They have helplines for the families in Ukraine. These organizations, they haven't worked in conflict zones. They're not emergency responders, but they've used their skills, knowing how, what the needs are for people with disabilities. They've applied them to what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening for the families with disabilities who are managing to get out. And they've become incredible humanitarians because the need is there. But what they say is, we can't do this alone. There is a phrase that they're using, an appeal that they're using. Ukrainian disability community are saying, leave no one behind. So what they're asking from the bigger humanitarian organizations is, don't just say you're doing your best, do better. A shelter just needs a ramp, then it is accessible. You're sending buses to pick people up. Have that bus have a lift in it so that people with disabilities can get into that lift. Think about food supplies, think about carers, think about respite care. It is not impossible. We can't do this by ourselves. We need your help to do it.
Well, Femi, and just briefly, please, where's the government in all of this?
So this is the rub, Peter. At the lead up to the invasion of Ukraine, big disability communities in Ukraine were saying, okay, let's get organized. The government was behind in this. They're beginning to catch up. They're asking for advice and help from these disability communities who are very willing to give that help. But also one of the other big things that can be done is listen to people with disabilities and hire them. These little organizations, these networks of people with disabilities, they're run by people with disabilities. They have that expertise. They say, ask us, Femi, we will help you, we will give you that technical expertise. The government of Ukraine is behind, but they're slowly beginning to catch up, Peter.
Femi, okay. Host of The Stream on Al Jazeera, thanks so much.
You're so welcome.